How y'all doing this morning? Did you sleep all right last night? I usually can sleep anywhere in the world without any problem in the world. We've been halfway around the world. We've done a lot of different things, but man, I did not sleep well last night. So I'm Jason. My wife, Paige, she's there in the back. We've got three kids. You can read about that in the little deal. And before we get started today, I want to do a little exercise. You haven't got your blood pumping enough. It's morning for some of y'all. It's like almost lunchtime for me this time of day. But some of y'all, it's still morning. You're still trying to get going. So I want you to stand back up because you just got set down. This is what Brian does at HBF. So I'm like, I want to make sure I try to keep in the spirit of HBF here. Stand back up. And I want you to take your spouse by the hands, and I want you to look in their eyes. Now, I understand that there's a few single people here today, right? Praise the Lord that you are here to invest in something that you know not of yet, but the Lord does. And so here's what I want to encourage you. If you're single, I want to encourage you. There's going to be a couple different times that I have you do something with your spouse. And if you're single and you're saved today, you understand that you are espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? Okay, so anything that you don't have to stand face to face, because you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ when I say these things, but I want you to look in the eyes of your spouse right now. Just look at them. Now, if you're surprised by the color of their eyes, don't tell them, right? I want you to just say, good morning. Because maybe you haven't done that yet today. Just good morning. And here's what I really want you to say. I want you to look at their eyes and I want you to say, you're worth the best of me today. Because the world we live, you don't have to say this, but because the world we live in, just stare in their eyes. You can listen without looking at me. Just look at your spouse. If it's uncomfortable for you to look at your spouse for more than, 30 seconds, well, we got issues. But, okay, the world we live in is loud. The world we live in is messed up. It is crazy. It is, and I just want you to say, you are worth my time today. All right, sit back down. Paige and I have been married for almost 20 years. And for some of you guys, that's like not very much time, but I'm still semi-young. We've been married for 7,211 days, actually, but who's counting? I looked that up. That's interesting. But Paige and I got married when we were young. And a lot of you would say, yeah, we got married when you're young. Paige's mom had to sign for her to get married. She was 17 years old. I was 18. We got married when we were very young. I wish I could tell you that it was on God's terms, but you know what? God can use even the things that we mess up in life for his glory. Amen. And so, but we've been married for quite a while. Our marriage has been amazing ever since the day we got saved. Now notice, I didn't tell you that our marriage has been great ever since the day we got married, because without the Lord leading and guiding you, man, we're all men most miserable, right? Amen? And so let me just tell you a couple things about each of us before we get started. That way you kind of know who you're hearing from. A lot of you guys from HBF, you know me. I'm around. I teach the Passpoint class. It's kind of the young adult-ish class, but not really, because really I'm not very young anymore. And so, but anyway, we just like to have a good time in Passpoint. And so I hope that's what we can do today. I like to laugh. I like to have a good time because sometimes a little bit of sugar helps the medicine go down. And so, so just a couple things about me and about Paige. So the first thing you need to know about me, I'm just a normal dude. There's nothing special about me. So much so, and this is just a funny story. So Brian asked me, quite a while back, he's like, hey, would you like to speak at the marriage conference? And, I had to give him the godly answer. Oh, yeah, I'll pray about it, knowing that, like, marriage is, if I could teach on one topic for the rest of my life, it would be marriage, because you'll never reach the depths of it. And you're never going to have it figured out. And so anyway, I'm like, yeah, I'll pray about it, knowing the whole time, like, God's going to have to tell me no if it's a no. And so I get back to him, like, yeah, hey, I'll do that. And so it was about a week later, I passed him in passing. I was going to teach an HBI class. I passed him in passing, and he may not remember this. And I'm like, hey, so I'm just doing one session, right? He's like, yeah, it'll be great. He's like, we got Brandon's going to be there on Friday night. We'll have like a young hip dude there for the whole thing. And he's like, and then we've got Ray. He's got like a real seasoned saint, somebody who's just been in it a while. And he's like, then we'll just have a dude. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I want to be young and hip. And then I got thinking about it, and I'm like, I really don't. I'm not. That's not me. And I'm like, I want to be like a real seasoned saint. But I'm like, I don't want to think of myself as that old yet. I'm still figuring some things out. So I'm like, you know what? There's no better way to describe me is I'm just a dude. I'm just one of y'all. I don't have anything figured out other than the Bible has the answers to whatever you got going on. That's what I have figured out, right? And so I say all that in jest, but I am. I'm just a normal everyday dude. I go to work every day. I do all the same things, right? And so, but let me tell you one other thing about myself. I'm just a normal dude who gave my life to Christ. And now, I believe everything I do should reflect the glory of Him, no matter how I do it. That's something about me. I'm just a normal dude, but I got saved. And when I gave my life to Christ, I'm like, hey, everything I do, whether I eat, drink, or whatsoever I should, whether I'm up here teaching, whether we're doing whatever we're doing, I'm driving nails, whatever, God's got to get the glory for it. And if He's not, then something's wrong, right? Okay, so that's just me. I'm just normal. So let me give you a couple things about my wife, just so you kind of know. She, on the other hand, is anything but normal, right? In a good way. She is the most beautiful, talented, sober-minded, godly wife and mother that I've ever seen on this earth. For real. Like, my wife is that. And the second thing that you should know about my wife is that after 20 years, she still hasn't realized that she's like a 10, and she's married to like a 3 at best. So if you could not tell her that, that would be great. So that's what you need to know about us, because this isn't about me anyway. So let's get started. Why are we here? Right? Why are we here on a Saturday morning? Now, I understand it's not last weekend where it's super nice out, but it's still nice enough that there's things to do, right? Why are you here? This is a big group of people. Well, are you here because your wife made you come? Your husband signed you up, right? Are you here because this is the last year? Why are we here anyway? Now, I know what most of y'all are going to say, because the kids aren't, right? That's why I'm here, because the kids aren't here, right? Just 10 minutes. Give me something, right? Some of you would say, like Brian says, this is marital maintenance, right? We're just making sure everything is where it needs to be, because, you know, some of y'all, Brian says your marriage is on life support. You're throwing a Hail Mary. I get all of that. One last shot. Let me just tell you why we're all here. Marriage is difficult. Marriage is difficult. Now, I'm not a PowerPoint guy, right? Luke's like, hey, can you send me your PowerPoint? And I'm like, Luke, I'll do my best to have power in my points, but I'm not a PowerPoint kind of guy. That's not me. You're going to have to keep up with fill in the blanks or nudge whoever you're with. And so anyway, maybe I do have a PowerPoint. Hallelujah to you, man. I promise that's not of me. Here's how untech savvy I am. Luke's like, hey, I need a picture. And I'm like, okay, Paige, Luke needs a picture. And so she's like, here, send this to him. So I figure out, I think I do anyway, I send him a picture on my phone, and I'm like, here, I email it to you. So he texts me back yesterday or something, and he says, hey, I can't open it. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me, man? I can't even figure out how to send a picture on my phone, right? That's how untech savvy I am. And then the old boy last night, he's telling us that, you know, we can hook up with people on our phones. And I'm like, man, praise the Lord, I don't know how any of that stuff works, right? I'd rather be right where I'm. Anyway, hallelujah, we got something. Marriage is difficult. Marriage, you could fill that blank in with a lot of different things. Marriage is fun. It should be. Marriage is all of those things. But you know what? I think everyone in here can agree with it's difficult. Being married is not the easiest thing in the world to do. Why? Because we like to serve us. We like to do what I want to do. We like to do what makes me feel good. And so if you want me to sacrifice that for someone else, even if it's someone as amazing as my wife, it's hard to do sometimes. Marriage is difficult. But let me give you one more reason. Maybe the best reason why we're here. We all need to hear from the Lord today. We all need to hear from the Lord today. Let's pray and let's get rocking and rolling. Father, I love you. You are too good to us. We don't deserve anything but hell. And Lord, you have called each and every one of us by name. You've set us apart. You've given us the perfection that you had, and you've taken away all imperfection that we have if we just choose to live in it. Lord, and we thank you so much for the spouse that you've given us. I thank you for the single people who are here who are just willing to invest in something that they know not of yet, but you do. Lord, I pray you'd put me out of the way. I have a lot of things that I'd like to say, but sometimes the best thing for me to do is to not say and just allow you to speak. I pray that your Spirit would really speak to us today, prick our hearts, and just get all the glory from our lives in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I got till like 10:30, right? So that means I really have till about 10:40. It's like the speed limit. As long as I stay within 8 or 10, I'm fine, right? No, I promise I am going to try to value the time today. I don't want to be that guy, but we'll see. Any of you who've been to Passpoint, you like Phil's over there laughing. He's like, no way. We all pretty much agree that marriage is difficult, right, at times. Not always. Sometimes marriage is great. But we all agree that marriage is a little bit difficult. But let me give you some numbers just to show you how hard marriage has become today. Now, I don't want to start today off as a Debbie Downer, but I want you to realize the gravity of the situation that we are in. Now, I know Brandon kind of hit on this a little bit last night, but I want to expound on this just a little bit. These are the divorce rates in the U.S. as of 2023, so just a few months ago. Now, again, I'm not here to bring anybody down, but I want you to understand what is looking at you in the face. He said last night, and this is true, 50% of all marriages in the U.S. end in a divorce. We've all heard that. That's nothing new. That really hasn't changed. We've almost even, let me just be honest with you, we've become callous to the fact that it's like, oh, that's just normal. You know, as long as it doesn't get any worse, I think we're doing okay, right? That's what we think. We've become callous to that. But let me show you the number in a different way to maybe help you change your perspective, because perspective is everything in the world, right? Perspective is everything. With that number, you know what that means? That means that every 42 seconds, there's a divorce in the United States. Whoa, that just got real. That means that there's 86 per hour, 2,046 per day, over 14,000 per week. And do you know how many that means in a year? Over 2 million. And you're like, oh, well, as long as we don't get within, you know, worse than 50%, we're doing okay. No, that's not, I know what you're thinking, right? I know what you're thinking. Well, at least I'm in the church, right? We're in the church. We are so much better than that. Real quick, with that math, over 2 million per year, you know what that... Let me just give it to you in another way. That means that there's nearly three divorces in the time that it takes for a couple to recite their vows that we said last night. Ooh, man, that hits hard. Right? That hits hard. And we think that, oh, we're in the church. We've got some things figured out. And, you know, and maybe in some of our churches, and I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else, but I mean, we're doing a little better, okay? It's a little better, but not much. Not much. I can think of a lot of couples. So Paige and I got married almost 20 years ago. We got saved a little, just right about 16 years ago, right in this time frame. And I remember I was a very, I'm not a very outgoing person. People are like, well, you talk in front of people all the time. It's like, well, because that's what God said to do. And I've learned not to tell God no. But anyway, so... I'm not a very outgoing person. I like to hang out with people that I know. And so anyway, we get saved. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But anyway, it was right about this time of year. And I remember Paige and I had a really messed up marriage. That's all you need to know. We had a really messed up marriage before we got saved. It was bad, right? And so anyway, we're going about life. We get saved. And I'm just trying to figure out who this new woman is that's living in my house, because it's not the woman that I knew before. We both got saved. God radically changed our lives. But they keep talking about this marriage conference, and I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's something my wife would want to go to. I don't dare ask her because, you know, we're at the season of my life where who knows how this will go. And so I just sign us up for it, right? And we go to this. I asked her, I'm like, hey, would you want to go to this? She's like, yeah. I'm like, well, good, because I signed us up. This is back in the day when we were meeting at the Elms. It was like, you know, we could take a third of this room, maybe, and that's how many people were there. And Mike Blake rolls in there. Anybody know who Mike Blake is? I'm a young introverted, don't really like to talk to anybody, and Mike Blake's just like, in your face and talking about the will of God for my marriage. And I'm like, I don't know there's a will of God for my life, man. Chill out. Is exactly what I needed in my life, right? We've been back every year, right? Because I know that God speaks at these kinds of things. So anyway, that's what happens. My brain just kind of squirrels out. We start telling stories. That's how we roll. I can think of a lot of couples who have been at these conferences over the years, over the 16 years that Paige and I have been here, that aren't here because they're not even married anymore. A lot of couples. So you want to tell me that we're doing better in the church? Let me take it one step farther. I can think of multiple men who stood where I'm standing right now who aren't even married anymore. You want to tell me that we've got something figured out in the church? Then you need to humble yourself before an almighty God, because we're not any better than anybody. Amen. That's where we need to start today. The numbers don't lie. The numbers do not lie. Why are these people getting divorced, though? Here's the thing. You can tell me that something is true, right? You can tell me I build houses by trade, or we fix houses, we do different things. But you can tell me that something is happening. I'm like, okay, but why is it happening? Hey, the roof is leaking. Okay, I can fix it, but why is it happening, right? Hey, the wheels are falling off the wagon. Okay, but why is it happening? So you can tell me that, hey, all these people are getting divorced, but why is it happening? Why are these people getting divorced? Well, Brandon hit on it last night. It's because that we, in this culture that we live in, have made it so easy to disconnect. You can just check the box that says irreconcilable differences. That means I don't like them anymore. It's basically what that means. They don't think like I do. They're not giving me what I want. And so I like to call it unmet expectations. It's the same thing. Irreconcilable differences, unmet expectations. That's why we have to, in our own lives, redefine. Hey, Jesus is calling. So I don't know who that was. I'm just laughing. It's funny. So anyway. That's why we have to redefine our expectations in life. Right? You have to redefine them, or we're going to be in the same boat. We're no better. Remember, you're no better. But why the divorce, though? Why? Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 8. We're going to have to do a little flipping. I don't know. Maybe they've got some stuff on. I don't even know what all's going on. But 1 Peter chapter 8. I'm going to give you some of the most basic verses today because I don't have time to expound on really much of anything. But you know what I do understand is that there is a lot of truth in the simplicity in Christ. There is a lot of truth in just how basic Christ can be in your life. Now, I understand there's doctrine that we know not of, none of us. And that's how deep the Bible is. But sometimes we just need to hit some basic stuff. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, excuse me, be vigilant, because your adversary, who is it? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's the devil's fault, right? That's what we like to say. It's his fault. I mean, yeah. It is. He is. Did you know that the devil, he hates you? The devil's a punk, right? I got a text from somebody yesterday. And here's what it said. It said, please preach tomorrow. Our marriages don't need, this is funny. Our marriages don't need holy talks. They need preaching and true repentance. The war is real, yo.
Amen. Amen.
The war is real. The devil, he's a punk. He wants your marriage to be nothing but a joke, right? My son was telling a story last night to somebody. He wrestled this last year in high school. He's a senior in high school. And he wrestled the kid who was, he went like, what, it was like 45-0 this year in one state again. But he wrestled him. He won state the year before. My son, he was pretty decent, but there's no match there, right? I mean, this kid is like, not only is he stronger and better, but he's got more technique. He's got all the things. And Brent was talking about, like, this kid was just toying with me, right? And he's like, I scored like 6 points on this kid, but you know why? Because he let me up 6 times, and you get a point when you get up, right? Just so he could toy with me some more. And do you know that's what the devil does in your life?
Yes.
The devil has so much more power than you think he does because we allow him to have it. He just toys with you. And then he lets you get back up, and you're like, oh man, I've got something figured out. And then he just flips you back over again because we allow him to do it. It says that it's the devil's fault. Yeah, you're right, it is. But you know why else it is? It's because the beginning of the verse, it says that we are supposed to be sober and we're supposed to be vigilant. And we're not those things most of the time. We just choose not to be those things. He's walking about, he's winning the war. And you know why? Because we're not sober and we're not vigilant. So how do we do that? Again, I'm not here to say, hey, you just need to do this. But how do we do that? In short, you've got to rightly apply the Word of God. You've got to take this book and you've got to... Sorry, mine's falling apart, and I'm really... I just, at some point I'm going to have to do something about it, but We've got to rightly apply this thing. You got to. Marriage point number one. The Bible is the most powerful thing you will ever have under one condition. You use it correctly. The Bible is the most powerful thing you will ever have under one condition. You use it correctly. And it's not, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, the Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You're right, it is, but I promise it's really not that powerful if all it does is sit on your nightstand. Right? It's not going to have a whole lot of power in your life if it sits on your car dash until you grab it and walk into the church on Sunday morning. Right? I'm just saying, right? Some of y'all are picking up what I'm throwing down. Let me give you an analogy. Maybe you're not tracking with me. I was going to bring some of this, and I forgot because that's how my life is. I must be getting older because, well, for one, I've got to hold my Bible out here to read it now, and I forget things. But do any of you know what it's called? Zip tape. It's zip tape, right? So in the construction industry, it's like flashing tape. We use it to tape windows, right? We use it to put on... you can use this stuff. You can put sheeting on a house and you can put zip tape over the seams and it will not leak. I've seen it work for over a year. You're not supposed to do that, but I'm telling you. You can put it on a roof. You can put zip on the roof. You can put zip tape on it. It's black tape, right? It'll work in a pinch every time. So much so that people have figured this out. I see cars driving down the road. Zip tape is holding their bumper on because this stuff is amazing. You can use it for anything. We had some guys roll in on the job the other day we subbed out the drywall on this job, and they had a window broken out of their car. You know what they had? They had zip tape on there. Man, just new window. Yeah. You can use this stuff for anything. But there's a catch with zip tape. They will only warranty it if you use it correctly, right? So you put this stuff on, and they don't tell you this, but they make this roller you're supposed to put on, and it's completely useless. It does nothing, I'm telling you. I've been here. But if you don't use it, they won't warranty their product. Okay, so we use it for everything. The Word of God's the same way. You're here. You're like, hey, my wife brought me. I'm supposed to be here. Hey, the window's broken out of our marriage. We need to do something. Let's throw some Word of God on it, right? Just throw some Bible on it. It'll be good. And then you forget about it, right? We got this going on in my life. Let me throw some Bible at it. Let me throw this at it. That's all good and dandy, but you know what? There's no warranty on it if you don't actually take it and rightly apply it. If you can take, I've seen lost people take the Word of God and try to apply it to their life, and it'll work temporarily. But if you don't rightly apply it, it's never going to work. You have to take the truth of it and say, you know what, Christ, you can have it all. That's what salvation is. That's what true repentance is. It's giving him all of it. It'll always work in a pinch, but it's only going to last if it's applied correctly. Here's some good news, right? Here's some good news, or even I would call it a promise, right? Because I gave you all of the bad stats. So I got all that out of the way first, right? It's all good news from here. At least it should be. When the Word of God is applied correctly to your marriage, you will not become another statistic. If you take this book and you rightly apply it to your marriage, I don't care how broken it is, I promise. If you think your marriage is like super broken, come have lunch with Paige and I. I'm going to tell you a story, right? Because I really don't have time to do this. Things were so bad. The only reason that we didn't get divorced at the time is we didn't have enough money to get divorced. That's how broke we are, right? God can use even, anyway. So much so that like I had bought the refrigerator from, we had split everything up, but we couldn't decide who was going to get the fridge. I'm like, I'll write you a check for it. That's how messed up things were in our life, okay? And so if you apply this book correctly, you will not become another statistic, right? Does it mean you'll be happy? I can't guarantee that. I didn't marry her, him. I didn't do that, you did. So I'm not saying you're going to be happy. I'm telling you, you will not become another statistic if you rightly apply this book to your life. That's what we have to do. Sounds great, right? But again, you're thinking, how do I do that practically? And yeah, rightly apply the book. I get it, but how, right? That's what I'm all about. I want to know how to do something. What can I do practically? Give me something that I can do. Like nearly every other thing in the Bible, it starts by faith. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Like nearly every other thing in the Bible, it starts by faith. You guys know this passage. Again, I'm not going anywhere today that's like, wow, that's astounding. I never really thought about it that way. I'm going to some basic stuff because sometimes we need to get back to the basics. We get so far off in the weeds of deep doctrine over here, and that's all great. But we need to make sure we get to the basics. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understood that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which by attained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, this is where I'm going to get to, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A new marriage, right? Austin and Lauren, you guys are the newest married in here, and I can speak to them because I actually had the privilege of doing their marriage just a couple months ago, right? But some of you guys have been married for a shorter amount of time. Some of you guys have been married for a very long amount of time. A new marriage can be summed up in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith, you step into a marriage by faith. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They're saying that they're going to do these things. They're saying, but I haven't seen it yet. Like, they say that they're going to pick up their socks, right? They're saying that they're going to, I'm hoping, but I haven't seen it yet, right? A new marriage can be summed up. It's by faith. But you know what? When you get to, it doesn't matter if you're a new marriage or not. You get to verse 6, we can all hit home right here. It says, but without faith, your marriage has to start with it. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I don't care how holy you think you are. If you don't come to your marriage simply by faith and say that I am just simply trusting that God can do something with two imperfect people. God can use us to reach the world, whether it be right here or halfway around the world or anything else. God can use us by faith. If we don't just simply by faith, it says it's impossible to please him. I don't care how good you are, how much you think you have figured out. If you don't have simple faith that God can use you, it's impossible. That's what the Word of God says. Tell me I'm wrong, because you're telling God he's wrong. It's impossible to please him. Marriage point number two. Instead of having faith that God can grow our spouse, we either work to change them or leave them completely. Right? Instead of having just the faith that God can grow our spouse, because you know what? I understand. Your spouse, they're not perfect. Right? Right? I get it. You chose her. That's what Brandon said last night. You got to do that. You chose her. Him. You chose him. Right? Because I understand. Most of the time, it's definitely his fault. I get it. Right? We're just created that way. Right? Now, that's not an excuse, but we are just created that. Instead of having faith that God can grow our spouse, we either work to change him or we leave him completely. What's the old saying, right? A woman comes into marriage thinking that her husband is like her greatest fixer-upper in life, right? Yeah, if I could just do this, just a little bit here, a little bit there, he'll be just right, right? And the husband, he comes into a marriage thinking if she just doesn't change ever, it'll be perfect, right? And you know what happens? The exact opposite happens for both of them. Right? She gets older. That's okay. She grows and changes differently, right? And you know what? For the most part, we just get older, guys. We just get older, right? We got to have faith that God can grow our spouse. Marriage point number three. You will never have the power to change your spouse. Only the Holy Spirit living inside of them can do that. You will never have the power to change them. You might have the power to manipulate them for a short season, but you will never have the power to change them. Only the Holy Spirit living inside them can do that. Only the Holy Spirit. And number four, marriage point number four, one of the best things, you need to get this, right? One of the best things that you need to say to yourself, not me, I mean, yes, me, but one of the best things that I can ever do for my marriage is realize that he is God and I am not. Because too often we try to say, hey, God, hang on, can you scoot over a little bit? I think I need to sit on the throne for a minute. I've got a really good idea, right? How'd a really good idea work out for Abraham and Sarah, right? They ended up with an Ishmael, right? You want me to just continue to give you examples? Because there's a lot of guys in the Bible who had a lot of really dumb ideas. You think we're any better, right? I'm not even worth having my name written in the book, right? And I mean, the book of life, yes, but I just meant. These are some of the best guys, the guys that had the most faith, and yet they still did. We got to realize that he is God and we are not. All right, so that's all introduction. So I told you, we're getting there. That's all introduction. Okay, so we got to get going. The theme for this conference is invest in your marriage, right? That's the theme. We got to invest in our marriage. The theme at HBF this year is purchase the field. And so both of these things need something from you. They need something from you individually to allow them to happen. What is that? They take some sort of action on your part. I'm going to have to pick up the pace. I just looked at the clock and I'm like, okay, we got to get rolling. This is what happens. So they take some sort of action on your part. So what is the leading cause? Again, I like to see why things happen. What is the leading cause of lack of action in any area of your life, your marriage included? What's the leading cause of lack of action? That's very true. Procrastination. So this is what happens, and Abby would tell you this. That's why she doesn't answer anymore in past points. It's like, because I feel like I'm trying to trick you. I'm not really. It's lack of communication, right? It's lack of communication. Marriage point number five. Without proper communication and understanding, there will never be proper action from everyone involved. Your marriage included. Without proper communication and understanding, there will never be proper action from everyone involved. This will date me a little bit, but some of you guys, some of you are more holy than me and you haven't watched movies like this, but how many of you have seen the first Rush Hour movie, right, with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, right? Jackie Chan, he's like, you know, he's from Hong Kong, and he comes and he's helping. I don't remember the whole premise of the movie, but anyway, here's what I do remember. Jackie Chan's like, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? That's my best accent I got, right? And Chris Tucker's like, don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, right? That's marriage summed up, in case you're wondering, right? That's marriage summed up. Without proper communication and understanding, there's never going to be proper action. You can communicate until you're blue in the face, but if there's no understanding, then there's really no communication at all. I can talk all the day long, but if you're not tracking with what I'm saying, choo, right? It's right over your head. Okay, again, I know what you're thinking. What's the freaking point, right? Get to what you're getting to, right? I am, and this I've been getting to this right here, because it's what you need to see. Here's the sequence of events that ties all this together from where we started to right now. Here's the sequence of events, because you wanted to know why the divorce. I'm about to tell you. A lack of communication will lead to a lack of action. A lack of action will lead to discontentment. Discontentment leads to unmet expectations. Unmet expectations, you see where I'm going with this, lead to irreconcilable differences. Oh, wait a minute. Irreconcilable differences, we said that led to, yeah, another statistic. We are the key. Your spouse is not the key. You are the key. Your simple faith that this book can actually do what it says it can do, that's the key. And that probably would be enough. But I've still got time, so we're going to keep going, right? Here's the point. I want you to understand this point, and then we'll get started. Understand this point. If you didn't write any other point down, understand this point right here. Because communication, that's what we're talking about today. If you haven't caught on, if it's went over your head so far, we're going to talk about communication. I've taught a lot about marriage in my life. I've learned a lot about marriage in my life, and here's what I've understood. There's a lot of really important things. Lack of communication is number one. You might say, no, it's lack of sex. Well, it's because you don't have any communication. You might say, no, it's lack of intimacy. It's lack of just conversation. It's lack of taking care of the kids. It's lack of communication. Let me just tell you, if you want to boil it all down, I've had enough counseling time with people. It's lack of communication. You don't know how to talk to one another, right? And it starts because you don't know how to listen to what... Anyway, we'll get there. Understand this point. Marriage point number six. Better communication will not heal all problem areas in your marriage. But there is not any problem area of your marriage, I should say that can be healed without proper communication. Let me say that again. Better communication will not heal all problem areas of your marriage. But there is not any problem area of your marriage that can begin to be healed without proper communication. It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. So here's what I got for you today. People in Passport are like, finally, we're getting started, right? Because this is what we're always waiting for the list, right? There's always a list. There has to be a list. It's the only way my brain works. Three communication breakdowns that lead to a lack of action in our marriage. Three communication breakdowns that lead to a lack of action in our marriage. That's what we've got. Here's number one. the husband and the Lord. Wives, I want you to sit back, relax, take a deep breath, right? Get your best, get it ready, right? Because I know, right? Just sit back and relax. I'm going to talk to the guys for a minute. Really basic verses, and we got to get moving, guys. I'm going to hit some really basic stuff. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Again, I really wanted to get into some deeper stuff, but I think just basics is where we need to camp out today. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. We're going to move quickly. Sorry, I probably should have done like getting verses up for you guys or something, but I didn't. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. The first communication breakdown that leads to a lack of action in our marriage is the husband and the Lord. How does the Lord communicate with you, by the way? Is anybody in here more holy than me and has had the audible voice of God actually speak to them like Moses guy? I didn't get that, right? I got kind of Moses stutter a little bit, right? I got that a little bit. I didn't get none of that. I don't talk too good. That's what Moses wanted to say. I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you, man. The Word of God, that's how God communicates with you, guys. That's how He does it. So if you're like, wait a minute, there's a communication breakdown, there's only one way that can happen. It's from lack of you being right here in this book. So let's look at a couple basic things that the Lord has communicated to us as husbands, right? Us as husbands. It's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. We understand this is the marriage passage, right? The go-to, full mention, however you want to call it, right? It's the go-to, right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, husbands. We're like, okay, I'm listening. Here I am, Lord. I hear you. Husbands, love your wives. We're like, I got it. I do that. I love my wife. I really do. I absolutely love my wife. I would do anything for that woman. I love my wife. I got it. Check mark, right? Guys, I know how your brain works because it works like mine. It works in a linear list of things that I need to get done. Love my wife. Check mark. What do I do next? Right? Marriage point number 7. One of the biggest problems with our communication is we stop listening. One of the greatest problems with our communication, guys, is we stop listening. Ladies, right? You're not listening to what I'm saying. No, I hear you, honey. No, you're not. You don't. I'm not even talking to you right now, ladies. I'm just like, but for real. Guys, we're like, yeah, I got it. Yeah, love your wife. Got it. We stop listening. Husbands, instead of thinking, okay, I got this. Let's move on. Take time to listen to what God is trying to tell you. God is like trying to download something to you right here. This is really important. And we read this and we're like, yeah, I got it. It's good. You ain't got nothing. You know how I know you ain't got nothing? Because the church statistics on divorce are no different than the world. That's why I know. Because this room isn't more full than it was. That's why I know. We don't have anything. Love your wives. Husbands, instead of thinking, I got this, let's move on. God's trying to talk to you. And the Lord's trying to communicate with you. And you're not listening. I almost said something I shouldn't have. You're not listening. We got to flip over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Another just really basic passage. This is actually when it comes to marriage advice, commands, not advice. The Bible is not advice. It's commands, right? It's not like a, hey, maybe you should or maybe you shouldn't. It says, hey, do this, right? This is my favorite passage to a husband. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, that's James chapter 3, so that's not going to work. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise. So meaning everything that I've already said to the wives, you should probably check into that too. You can read that on your own. Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. That means you need to actually learn your spouse. Ladies are like, right? Dwell with them according to knowledge. That's not what I'm going to get to, though. Giving honor unto them, unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. We're not going to talk about that today. As unto being being heirs together of the grace of life. All of that to get to this point in this verse. This is what I want to talk about right now. That your prayers be not hindered. What does that mean? Your obedience to God's commands carry a heavy weight should you choose not to obey, husbands. You're supposed to dwell with them according to knowledge. You're supposed to be learning your wife. You're supposed to be finding out what makes her tick. And I'm not talking about just what you want to think of. Okay. You're picking up. Okay. Well, I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about what makes her purr. And I'm not talking about that again. I'm talking about, like, wait, what gets her going? Like, what gets her out of bed in the mornings? What's really going to make her feel like you actually love her, right? What's going to do that? Lady's like, yeah, what's that? All of those things, giving honor unto the weak as a vessel. It says all of those things. Your obedience to those commands carry a heavy weight, because marriage point number 8 says we underestimate the effect that is caused by our lack of communication. We underestimate the fact that if we don't do what God told us to do, there's going to be a heavy effect on our lives. You know what God says? If you're not going to do those things, I can't hear you, right? Your prayers be not hindered. I'm not saying God doesn't hear you. I'm not going to speak on the behalf of God at all. But I am saying that this verse right here says if you're not doing those things, your prayers might be hindered. I feel like I do enough in my life to hinder anything. I don't need another thing to hinder my relationship with the Lord, right? I'm just going to do what I'm told to do, or at least try to. This point is a huge warning to us as husbands, and we simply blow it off as if we don't believe that God's word is really the truth of the word of God. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to. Maybe one of these days I'll get to it. I'm supposed to do those things. Yeah, I know. Guys, stop blowing smoke. Come on. Be real for a minute. The Bible says do this. Why not? Why aren't you? I don't know. Marriage point number 9, our lack of simple obedience to God's direct communication. It's not like this is a, well, I don't think he's really talking to me. Are you a husband? That's what it says. Husbands, I guess the single people in here, you're like, okay, yeah, that doesn't, you're right, not yet. Husbands, he's talking to you. Our lack of simple obedience to God's direct communication is allowing the devil to win. The devil is toying with you, and you're just like, okay, I'll get back up and do it again. Maybe it'll be a different outcome this time. Maybe he won't throw me down, or at least this time it won't hurt my neck, right? Or whatever, that's what we think. You wanna know the truth of it, guys? We are a church, guys. Because ladies, I'm gonna be real for you a minute with you for a minute. I'm so fired up, I can't even talk. This lays on your husband's shoulders. We are a church full of Jonas, and honestly, the church as a whole is starting to reflect that. God's like, hey, you should do this, and we're like, yeah, I don't really think so. I don't really want to. And God's like, actually, you know what? I think you're going to. Let's try again. We have become a church full of Jonas, and the church as a whole is reflecting that. Tom Gang was at our church a few weeks ago. It was amazing. This dude, I'd never heard him before. I'll be completely honest with you. I wasn't super excited about it. I didn't have my heart right. And he preached on Sunday morning, and it was just like one of the best sermons I've heard in my entire life. It was great. Anyway, he said one thing that really hit close to home to me. He said, you want to know one thing that all Baptist churches have in common? You know, a lot of us are from Baptist churches, right? You want to know the one thing that we all have in common? We all hold to the King James Bible, right? Or no, that's not it. You want to know what it is? They're all dying. In one way or another, they're all dying. You might think, oh no, our church, we're busting at the seams. Humble yourselves, lest you fall, right? Take heed, lest you fall. Men, we need to get serious about our call as husbands. We got to get for real. You got to, like, I don't know how else to say it. You got to, like, put the big boy pants on. Do something, right? We got to get serious about our call as husbands, because it's not just about you and your spouse. It's not just about you and being happy, or you and your hobbies. Or you know what it is? Strong husbands lead to strong marriages. That just boils down to that. Ladies, I'm not taking away from what you're doing, but if there's not a strong husband, there's not a strong marriage. And if there's not strong marriages, there's not going to be strong families. And if there's not strong families, let me tell you, the churches are dying. We're not going to have strong churches. And you know what? Strong churches, they're going to lead to what? The one thing that we all should desire: God getting the glory. That's what it's all about. If that's not what gets you up in the morning, if that's not what gets you fired up, then what in the world are you here for? We have to be giving God the glory for everything that we're doing. And husbands, it starts with you. Stop being you and start. I don't know how else to say it, man. Allow God to actually work through you. Man, your wife's like, please, Lord, would this ever happen? And you might have a really good marriage, and she's still thinking that, I promise. Strong husbands lead to strong marriages. They lead to strong families. They lead to strong churches. And then God gets the glory. And husbands, it starts with you. It starts with your obedience to God's communication to you. The unraveling of the family and ultimately the church itself lays on your shoulders. So husbands, here's my question for you. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's the kind of stuff that fires me up. Give me something to do, right? And your wife's like, All right, guys, I'm the second breakdown of communication that leads to a lack of action in our marriage is the wife and the Lord. Guys, I'll get off your toes just for a minute, but not for long. And let me just tell you guys, it's okay for her to be like, if you say anything, if you even nod, if you even like, Lord be with you. I've learned. I'm not all-knowing in anything, but I've learned a few things. The wife and the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5. Flip back over there. Ephesians chapter 5. This passage that we started with the husbands. There was a lot of things I wanted to say, but I had to cut a lot of stuff out. I'm trying to be on time. Back up for a minute. Guys, it says love your wives, but then it actually tells you how to do it. We stop listening, but it actually says, hey, if you want to know how to do it, I'll actually tell you. Do it as Christ loved the church. And then it goes on, it gives you very in-depth instructions. And I could have spent an hour and a half talking about that, but I didn't even have an hour and a half to start with. So anyway, wives, this passage, it starts with you. And actually, what really happens is we always start in verse 22 when we want to talk about marriage. But it actually starts in verse 21, because this is where marriage starts. It starts with, in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If you're doing that, then everything after that won't be nearly as offensive or hard, right? But usually we just skip past that, and we go right to this, and the wives are like, what? Okay, Ephesians 5:22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, you've heard that. Wives, you're tired of hearing that. I get it. But I'm sticking with the basics. It says submit yourselves. That's what it says. Wives, why? I'm talking to you for a minute. Why would you ever want to do that? That's what the world wants to know. Why would you ever want to submit to your husband? He's a fool. And I would even probably say he's a fool in most cases, right? Your husband, he's not worth it. Again, that's what the world tells you. He's not worth it. He doesn't deserve that. Maybe when he deserves it. Why would you ever submit to him? Now, I understand there might be some guy in the church, this is where it starts, that's worth you submitting to, but not to your husband. It's interesting that it says twice in there, submit to your own husbands. You chose him. I could have told you he wasn't worth it. You didn't ask me, though, right? You chose him, and God's not into divorce, right? He's not in the business of divorce. So you chose him. It says submit to your own. Why would you ever submit to him? Let me just give you one really basic reason. I'm not trying to get super doctrinal here. I'm not trying to, because that's what the Lord communicated to you to do. I don't know why he did it that way. I don't know why God did a lot of things the way he did it, right? There's a lot of things in life that I'm like, you know, if he would have done it this way, it would have been a lot easier, right? I don't really know about God's design in this area, right? There's a lot of things that God designed that I'm a big fan of, right? Like, you know, we talk about how we have children. I like the way God designed that part of it, right? That part of marriage is great, right? But as far as like really doing all these other things, and like, I don't really know about all that. Right? Who are we to question God? You know, you want to know why you should do that, ladies? Let me just give you the most basic answer. Because that's what God told you to do. Right? I mean, just start there. And I understand, your husband, he's not worth it. That's what it said to do. Your own husband. Hey, will you give me some water, Paige, please? Thank you. The coffee's not really washing this down like it needs to. Marriage point number 10. Communication will not be effective if you do not believe who you are talking to knows what they're talking about. Communication will not be effective if you don't believe who you're talking to knows what they're talking about. Now, I understand, wives, you're thinking, I know that. I understand that. My husband doesn't know what he's talking about, and I don't believe him. Like, you're cementing my point, Jason. Well, you're not picking up what I'm laying down. You're really not picking up what I'm laying down. So let me say it a different way. Marriage point number 11. If we, husbands, you can lump yourself in this as well if you want to. If we truly believed that the Bible was God's words written to us, then we would be more active in living it out. If we really believed that this book was God's words, I would be a little more active in living it out. Let me give you an example. I don't have a lot of time for examples, but this is how I teach. Last summer, my wife has always really wanted to go jump out of a plane, go skydiving. And I've always thought that she was absolutely nuts and that she was crazy for wanting to jump out of a plane. But anyway, why would we want to do that? But anyway, something she always wanted to do. I'm like, fine, I can do this. So we went and did this, right? And it was absolutely nuts, though. Like, I have no desire to do it again. She's like, I'll do it. And I'm like, let's do it. She's like, can we do it again today? I'm like, no. Right? What they didn't tell you, I think I kind of knew this, but what they didn't tell you is, like, I didn't even get to do it with her. They strap you to some other person, right? And we go. And so we go up in this group of people who are in this plane. We go through this little class on how to do it and all this. And we come to find out, my wife's like the first tandem to jump out of the plane. I'm at the very back and she's at the front. There's like six groups here. She like jumps out of the plane. I'm like, huh, I hope that ends well. I have no control here, right? I went through with it, right? If I didn't actually believe that the chute would open, I would have been a little less active in stepping out of the plane. Does that make sense? Your amount, make sure you catch this. Your amount of belief leads to your amount of action. Your amount of belief in something will lead to your amount of action of something. 1 Peter chapter 3, look back over there. I should have told you to keep your finger there, sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3. Find out where I'm even at here. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, same type of thing, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. There's a lot of things here, ladies, that you should get with another lady and pick up what's being thrown down here, but I don't have time. Verse 2, verse 3, while adorning, let it be not be that the outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold, but of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as, here's an example for you, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Okay, so what's the point here? What am I trying to get to? It says, even as Sarah. Okay, so you remember back in Genesis, Abraham, he's the father of faith. He's this really, he's got everything figured out, right? Except for he didn't, right? He still did some dumb things. Sarah followed Abraham even when he really wasn't worth following. You remember when Abraham was rolling up to go meet Abimelech, and he's married to Sarah, and he's like, man, he starts thinking. This is where we start going wrong, guys. We start thinking, right? He starts thinking. He's like, my wife's really hot, right? She's really good looking. And what's going to happen is we roll in here, and Abimelech's going to be like, you know what? I think I want her to be my wife. And the only thing that's keeping that from happening, this guy named Abraham, right? So I'll just kill him and get rid of him. So Abraham's like, I got this idea, Sarah. Here's what I want you to do. When we get there, just be like, hey, you're my sister. And she's like, you want me to do what? Right? You want me to do what? You're not even going to, like, stand up for me? Right? He does this not only once. He does it twice in his life. He then imparts it somehow to his son, because his son does it in his life. Monkey see, monkey do, guys. That's what happens with your sons, in case you're wondering. Not a good picture. That's not exactly what Abraham wasn't. He wasn't the follow, right? Abraham followed him even when he wasn't worth following. Marriage point 12. Sarah believed by faith that God could use a less than perfect man to accomplish his will. Her faith led to her obedience. It's almost where we started. Sarah believed by faith that God could use a less than perfect man to accomplish his will. Her faith led to her obedience. Her obedience wasn't blind. That's what the lost world wants to tell you, ladies. That, oh, you're just sticking your head in the sand, right? It wasn't careless. She didn't have her head stuck in the sand. She believed and was obedient by faith. Ladies, let me just ask you a question. And before you answer, because I'm not trying to trick you, Abby, right? Because Abby always says, you're trying to trick me, right? I'm not trying to trick you. Let me ask you a question, and don't answer until you hear the whole thing. Do you have enough faith to believe that God can use your husband to lead your home? Do you have enough faith to believe that God can use your husband to lead your home? Because you're like, yeah, I think, right? Now, let me, it has nothing to do with how underqualified your husband is. It has everything to do with how overqualified your God is. It has nothing to do with how underqualified he is, your husband. It has everything to do with how overqualified your God is. Allow your faith to lead your obedience, ladies. Amen. I understand. That's one of the hardest things that the Bible will ever ask you to do, is submit to that knothead husband of yours. I get it. Allow your faith to lead your obedience. Proverbs chapter 31. You can flip over there. I'm going to have to cut some of this out. I'm going to just hit a couple verses here. But Proverbs chapter 31, we understand this is the passage on a virtuous woman. It says, let me just read a little bit here, starting in verse 10. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then it goes on, and it basically starts listing the character qualities of a godly woman, right? And you guys have probably read this, and I really want to get to the third point, because that's really where I'm headed. So it really lays these things out, and it really just lays out like, man, that is what we're after, right? Guys, it's hard to find a godly woman, isn't it? Amen. Ladies, it doesn't even talk about finding a godly husband. That's how few and far between they are. I get it, right? It's hard to find, is what it says. A godly wife is hard to find, but let me tell you something. When you do, your family will flourish because of her. And if you're thinking, well, I picked the wrong one, go back to earlier. You got to have faith that God can change and mold your spouse. You're never going to do it. You're never going to do it. Marriage point 13, she's a virtuous woman because she communicates with her Lord. She's a virtuous woman because she communicates with her Lord. How do I know that? Well, verse 26 talks about she opened her mouth with wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? It only comes from the Word of God. I know she's communicating, right? Now I understand that, you know, at the time they didn't have the copy, but anyway. And then in verse 30, it says that she favors deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be pleased. Okay, we understand. You don't learn the fear of the Lord without knowing this book, without talking to God. She's a virtuous woman because she communicates with the Lord. That's why. Right? Husbands, they're hard to find, but when you find one, man, you better treat her like a queen, because she deserves it. All right, number 3. This is where I really want to get to, and I'm gonna move quickly. The third communication breakdown that leads to lack of action in our marriage. Because I understand, if we're not communicating with God, it really doesn't matter how good you try to communicate with your spouse, it's not going to work, okay? So we had to hit there first. But here's the third communication, and it's between the husband and the wife. And we're like, yep, this is what I came to hear right here, right? Let me just ask you something. I was going to do a little exercise here, but we don't have time. So just write it down on your paper. And don't let your spouse see it yet, right? And this isn't a point of contention. This should be funny. How would you rate the communication with your spouse, 1 to 10? Right? 1 being, what's communication? And 10 being, we talk about everything all the time. So just write down a number. Like, I think our communication is a, you fill in the blank, right? Okay, so let me tell you something. Guys, whatever your number was, drop it down 2 or 3, because it's never as good as you think it is. Ladies, it's probably a little better than you think it is, so maybe bring it up a couple, and I bet your numbers, after you do that, will become closer to matching, okay? That's just usually how that works, right? We think that, oh, I talk to her all the time. And she's like, we don't ever talk. And I mean, maybe it's a little better than what you think. So, okay, the whole point is I got to get moving. Now think about it this way. You probably just said that a 4 or a 5, that's not too bad, right? We communicate some. That's not terrible. You know, I understand we're not a 10, but, you know, a 5, we're halfway, man. It's not that bad. But let me ask you something. Earlier we saw that no communication was what? It was the cause of almost every divorce. So now you're 5. You're halfway divorced? You're telling me that's not that bad? I think you maybe need to step up your communication a little bit. Perspective is everything. In every area of your life, perspective is everything. Marriage point 14. When we actually believe that the devil is trying to destroy our marriage, we will communicate more seriously with our spouse. When you actually believe that the devil's trying to destroy your marriage, you will communicate more seriously with your spouse. The devil does not want you to succeed. And it's a very real part of the world that we live in. I'm just being honest with you. And so the sooner you realize that you have an adversary, the devil, that is trying to like just knock you out, you're going to start communicating a little better. You just will. Remember, I'm just a dude, right? I'm just a normal dude. Ask Brian. Like, that's who I am. Praise the Lord. That's who I want to be, right? I'm just a dude. My wife and I, we're normal people. We really are. You want to know the number one cause of disputes in our marriage, right? I mean, maybe not all the time, but the number one cause, we figured this out about ourselves. It took a long time, almost 20 years, but just recently we kind of figured this out. Maybe she figured it out a long time ago. I just figured it out, and we finally communicated it, right? But the number one cause of disputes in our marriage, we figured this out. We are saying the exact same thing in different ways, almost always. And the more that we say it, the more we get frustrated, and you're like, you're not listening to me. And it's like, if we would just stop for a second, we're saying the same thing in completely different words. Flip over to John chapter 21 real quick. This is really good, and I wish I had more time to expound on it. But John chapter 21, gosh, always run out of time. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. You've heard this passage before, but I want to show you something. It says, and when they had dined, so Jesus is, he's resurrected, and now he's come back to meet with the disciples. When they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, or Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse 17, he saith him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he kept repeating himself. That's not really what it was. Because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. So let me tell you what's happening here. The word love in your Bible is translated, you know, obviously it wasn't written in English first, right? It's translated out of the Greek, okay? And so the word love is translated five different ways. And so basically let me just lay this out for you really quickly. It looks in our language like he's saying, Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you, right? And it's like, what's the point here? Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? He says, do you agape love me? Meaning, the best way to describe it, agape love, is like a love in action, a love that would do anything, is sacrificial, do anything, a love with shoes on, as I heard a sermon one time called, it'll do anything, right? He says, Simon, do you love me like agape love me? And Peter says, I phileo love you, right? And we read it as love, love. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, that means I love you like a brother, right? He's like, yeah, I love you like a brother. And he asked him a second time, Simon, do you agape love me? He says, yeah, I love you like a brother, right? I phileo love you. And then the third time he asks, Jesus says, do you phileo love me, right? He had to change the question. He had to like really dumb down what he was saying the best way that I can say it. He had to really change what he was asking. I guess you don't love me in an agape terms yet. Do you phileo love me? And it says he was grieved because he's like, I understand what just happened. Jesus had to really dumb this down for me. He's like, yeah, you know that I fillet. I love you like a brother, right? And so there's a lot more I want to show you there, but you know what happens a lot of times in your marriage? The same thing happens. Marriage point number 12, or not number 12, I'm sorry, down here. Marriage point 15. The communication, I made the words smaller, so it seemed like I didn't have as many notes, right? Like there's not enough pages. Okay, marriage point 15. The communication is lacking in your marriage because each of you are speaking different languages. Right? You're speaking different languages. She says, do you love me, baby? And he's like, oh, baby, I love you, right? You know what I'm like, I love you, right? And she's like, no, that's not what I ask you, right? She's like, do you love me? He's like, oh yeah, baby, I love you. And she's like, all right, let's go do the dishes. let's do the what? Right? That's how you're gonna love me. And after that, let's go take a walk, right? Wait a minute. That's not what you asked me. You said that I love you. We're saying the same thing. We're speaking in different languages, right? And in a lot of areas of life. We're saying the same thing. We're just meaning completely different things. And we're just like, why don't you understand what I'm saying? Because I don't understand what you're saying. I just don't understand you. Right? That's where it starts. I don't know. You don't understand me anymore. I don't understand you anymore. Right? Yeah, baby, I love you. She's like, all right, let's go do something fun. Like, you know, let's go clean the house. Ladies are like, Do you know the language that your spouse speaks? Now, I'm not talking about love languages here. I know there's a book about all that. But I'm talking about, what is it that, like, makes your wife know that she feels loved? Do you know? What is it that makes him feel like he's loved, right? How do you do that? Do you know the language they speak? Even, let me just tell you something. Even if you say the right thing at the right time, it won't matter if it's in the wrong language. You can say the right thing at the right time, in the right heart, with the right intentions. And it's not going to matter if she's not tracking, if he's not tracking. You've got to learn how to talk to your spouse in a way that they can understand you. That's on you. It's not on them to figure it out, to read between the lines, to, you know, decrypt the code. Man, just say it. I got to keep going. Okay, keep going. Marriage point 16. I had other things I want to say, but man, y'all are speaking different languages, and that's the problem. Marriage point 16. The communication is lacking in your marriage because your words do not match your intentions. Your words don't match your intentions. I'll flip over there real quick. If you have time, you can. Song of Solomon. Just real quick. This is really funny to me, so I have to read this. Just real quick. Song of Solomon. Chapter 4 and verse 1 to 6. This is just really funny. He says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. That sounds nice, right? Within thy locks. Thy hair is as flocks of goats. My hair is what? Right? What did you just call me? That appear from Mount Gilead. Okay, I'll forgive you, baby. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. My teeth are what? Right? What did you just say? Even, which came up from the washing, whereof everyone bear twins, and none is barren among them. My lips are a thread of scarlet. Well, that doesn't sound too bad. And thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate. My head is what? Right? Thy neck is like the Tower of David. Don't say that to her, guys. I just promise. Don't. Your neck, baby, it's like the Tower of David. It just goes on and on and on. It's funny, and I understand the context and everything, but here's what I'm saying, because I got to keep moving. Even if you have the right intentions, you'll fail if you don't use the right words. I understand, guys, what you were trying to do there. You were trying to be sweet. You were trying to, like, hit all the right things, but that's not what happened, right? That's not what happened there. You had the right intentions, but you didn't use the right words, right? He's like, man, baby, your teeth, they look like goat's teeth. I think I shouldn't have said that, right? Guys, you ever said that before? Maybe I shouldn't have said that, right? Good intentions, but I'm guessing that, let me just tell you guys, if you try these lines tonight, it won't end with the intentions you were hoping. Your intentions. Practically, though, because it's not just about getting into bed. I mean, that's funny, but it really is funny. But practically, though, if you don't just simply say, stop trying to beat around the bush, stop trying to manipulate the circumstances. If we stop beating around the bush and we get to what we're actually trying to, let me just read this. If we stop beating around the bush and trying to get what we want without actually using the words necessary to do it, then you're going to be much farther along in your marital communication. Too often we're like, hey, here's my end goal. I want to get to this. So how do I need to, like, what three dots do I have to connect to before I get there? Why wouldn't you just ask? Why wouldn't you just say? Why wouldn't you just come right out and I don't know. I got a quick example. My daughter, Paige and I are going to be out for this weekend, and my daughter, she's got cheer tryouts this week. And so she has to be at the school at 6 o'clock on Monday morning. They don't even have school on Monday. She's got to be at school at 6 o'clock. And so I heard her the other night. She's trying to figure this out because she knows Mom and I aren't going to be home. She's not 16 yet. I forgot to tell you, we have three teenage kids. Please pray for us. Or I guess actually one of them's 20 now. But yeah. So anyway, I heard her the other night. She's asking Brenton, my middle son, he's a senior, and she's like, hey, Brenton, what are you doing at 6 o'clock on Monday morning? Like, what do you think your brother's doing at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning when he ain't got school? That's a dumb question, right? She's like beating around the bush instead of just saying, hey, would you be willing to get out of bed and take me to cheer practice since mom and dad aren't going to be here? No, she found another option, right? Grandma's always the best option. So anyway, that's what we do in our marriage, though. Now, I couldn't give you an example between me and Paige because I'm not doing that. So I had to use something else. But that's what we do. We like beat around the bush instead of just coming out and saying, you know, what is your intention with what you're asking? What is your intention with what you're trying to say? What are we trying to do here? Marriage point 17, the communication is lacking in your marriage because each of you are not saying what needs to be said. Now, I don't have time. I'm out of time. So last night, Brandon, this is really ironic because this is how God does things, right? He was in Numbers chapter 30 talking about a vow, right? Very interesting. He ended at verse 5. If you pick that passage back up in verse 6 to 8, we don't have time to turn there. I'm just going to give you the gist of it. So it's talking about vowing a vow, and it's talking about a wife vowing a vow and her husband being aware of it. And it said, if he holds his peace, meaning he doesn't say anything, if he doesn't like say, hey, baby, I don't think that's a good idea, relate this to maybe like she wants to join a ministry or something, or she wants to go and do this, and the husband's like, I'm just not going to say anything. I don't think it's probably the best idea or whatever, but he just holds his peace. He doesn't say anything, right? Sometimes it says he held his peace in that passage. Anyway, this is what I'm trying to get to. Sometimes not communicating what you're thinking is not as helpful as you think, guys. I know a lot of times we think it's the best thing we can do is bite our tongue, and sometimes it is, especially when it's heated. But sometimes just not saying anything at all is not the best thing. I don't care what old Alison Krauss tells you, right? It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you need to just tell her what you think. Have communication about it. Sometimes holding your peace. Because guess what? Once she's vowed a vow, once she's made a commitment, once she's stepped in, it's really hard for her to back out because you're like, yeah, I don't think that was a good idea, babe. Well, it's too late now. I'm already involved. I'm already invested. I'm already, right? That's why communication is so key. You get asked, hey, could you disciple this lady? You're like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal. Or you ask your husband, and he's like, and you commit to it, and then you get like two lessons in, and it's like, well, it's taking a lot of time away from our family. Well, that's why we should have had communication about this in the first place. Sometimes holding your peace is not always the best thing. Wives, the same thing. If your husband's got this really dumb idea, because that's what most of our ideas are, really not smart ideas, and we're like, and the lady's just like, ugh. Sometimes it's not best to hold your peace. Now, I'm not saying always get in an argument about it, but sometimes communication is key. Our marriages are ending up just messed up because we don't simply communicate. Let me tell you something I've learned in 20 years of marriage. Not a lot of things, but here's something I've learned. Having the hard conversation, you know the one I'm talking about, in your life right now, having that hard conversation that you know you need to have, it won't be easier tomorrow. And it won't be easier the next day. Rip the Band-Aid off. Have the conversation. Figure it out. Divorce is not an option. It's not. So what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? There are so many different things that we know we need to do as married couples. But you know what it starts? It starts with just simply speaking. Just saying what needs to be said. And we're just like, have a communication. Have a conversation. Have a conversation. I'm going to give you three practical ways very quickly, and I'm done. I promise I'm done. I'm sorry I went over. I really am. Three practical ways. You can write these down. Don't do them right now. I really want you to circle back around and do this later. And so write these down in your own words because they're kind of lengthy. I should have probably put them up there, but I didn't. Number one, write down the top three things that you need from your spouse in this season of life. What are the top three things that you need? Maybe it's better communication. Maybe it's like help with the kids. Maybe it's help with the house. Maybe it's physical intimacy. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Whatever in your life, in the season of life that you're in, what is it that like, just the top three things that you need, right? And just write them down. You don't have to do it right now, but just think about it. What are the three things that you need from your spouse, right? Because here's why. You communicate in the language that you speak. The things that you need. And so make sure that they understand what that language is and have that. Once you have them written down, sit down and have that conversation. Like, hey, these are the things that I really need from you right now. It might be different in a different season of life, but right now this is really where I'm at. This is what I need because I'm trying to communicate to you in a way that I can receive those things and you're communicating to me in a way that you can receive those things and we are just like opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay? So just be serious with yourself. What are the three things that I need from my spouse right now? Right? And then have that conversation. Here's number two. Write down something. Now, this one's kind of fun, right? Write down something that is oddly important to you or oddly likable to you that you wish your spouse would understand, right? Here, I'll give you one, and I totally understand why this doesn't work. So we just had this conversation the other day. I really like it when my wife has bangs, right? I do, and here's why: because it like makes the color of blue of her eyes like magnified 100-fold with her red hair. It's absolutely amazing. I love it when my wife has her bangs. I also have understood by having a conversation with her that it's just not practical, right? Especially we're getting ready to roll into summertime. We bought a Bronco and the top goes down and she's like, that's just not practical, right? And so I get it. So just something in your life that's like, hey, I really like it when you do this, babe. I really like it. And they might think that's really dumb. But if they understand that, hey, I really like it when you do that, something, it's just the start of a conversation. Like, oh, wow, I didn't really know that, right? It's weird. Conversations will allow you to know things about your spouse that you didn't know for 20 years. And just write down something that's oddly important to you or likable to you that you wish your spouse would understand. They might think, well, that's dumb, but it doesn't matter. And then, so help them understand why you like it, right? Don't beat around the bush. Just come out and say it. Okay, and the last thing. And this one's easy. It's the easiest and the hardest. And I'm done. Write down a topic of conversation that you know the two of you need to have. You don't have to do it right now, but like, just write down a topic of conversation that you know the two of you need to have. And here's what I want you to do. Make time on the schedule to have it. Because I get it. Life is busy. Brandon's up here talking last night about marriage is, he didn't say it, but that's what I was hearing. Marriage is hard. You know, the dryer's breaking. This is happening. This is happening. You know what my wife leaned over and said to me? He doesn't even have teenagers yet. And I totally get it. I know where he's at, but man, like, whew, if you got young kids, I'm praying for you. It's the most fun and most hard season of life all at the same time. So here's the last thing I got. Three types of people, because here's what'll happen. I really do apologize for being over. I just gave you three practical things to do. And there's three types of people in the world. There are people that are just obedient, right? They'll say, okay, I know I should do this. I know it's better for my marriage. I will make time. I will do these things. Even if I don't like them, I will do them because I think it's better for me. They're obedient people. There's another type of people. They're disobedient people. They're people that halfway wrote down what I just said because they're like, I'm not going to do this. This is stupid. I'm rebellious. I don't want to. I'm not going to. That's fine. God will deal with you. God has a way of dealing with rebellious people. I would rather you be rebellious than the third type of person, though, because these are the type of people that just really rake on my skin. I like to call them Laodicean people. The Bible calls them that, too. They say, oh, yeah, I definitely want to do that. I'm going to make time to sit down and do all those things. We're really going to sit down and have these conversations. And they really think they're going to. And you know what happens? They totally blow it off because something better comes along. Something shiny comes along. And they're just like, and they didn't make the main thing the main thing. What type of person are you? What type of marriage are you going to have? An obedient one, a disobedient one, or a Laodicean one? That's on you. We have to have better communication because God has commanded us to have better communication. And we have to, as men and women, stand up and say, God, enough is enough. It stops here. It stops right now with our marriage, with our church, because God will get the glory. Amen. One way or another. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I apologize for being long on time. The time is valuable, and we know that it's short. God, your word is amazing. You are amazing. Lord, I thank you for the challenge that you gave me, even through presenting this stuff. I pray that you would get all the honor and the glory from everything that was said, and that you would just really prick our hearts and change our marriages to be more like you. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Jason.
Good word, Jason. Appreciate that. And I tell you guys, I don't know where you're all at, but these conferences are good for getting the communication going. And when you have corrupt communication, you have a strong marriage, to have a strong family, to have a strong church.